kind of the incense. Okay. Who are the two? Yeah, Padmasuri and Ratio. Come. They haven't liked Thursday class. Oh, last Thursday they liked it. Yeah. Okay, that's that. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can start the puja. Compose your mind, yeah? Develop the sadha, the faith, and the virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the pre-puja. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we turn to page 1. Yeah? Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Mosavada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we chant the Padipa Puja. Ganda sarapaditena Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muthamang Vanna ganda gunu petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Niripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena chahotu mokang Pang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adiva setu no bante Aniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tu no bante Pale parikapitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tu no bante Bojanang parikapitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the consciousness and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruitions soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Trupaja. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated, then we can start our meditation. Everybody here before, nobody is new. Ah, good. So we can start our meditation. Oh, she's new. Oh, she came. Oh, okay. I will give you the other book, don't worry, the blue book on meditation, and together with the seminar book. Oh, you had that already. So you read the blue book, maybe it will help you to understand some basic Buddhist teaching, so that you will understand how to train your mind to develop the meditation, so that you can meditate and develop the understanding, the part one, understanding, yes. You go back and read through. This is a typical Thursday class meditation. Oh, you have? Oh, good. That is easy. But you need to understand certain important aspect of meditation as taught by the Buddha, because like I explained, meditation is a very loose word. Everything that people do using the mind, they call it meditation. So any form of meditation, they actually are referring to the training of the mind. So if they train their mind to do loving kindness, they call it metta, loving kindness meditation. Then they like to use the word vipassana meditation. So vipassana is just a word. If you don't understand, you can become gullible. Then they define the method, the technique that they teach you. They say, you do this method, this technique, it becomes vipassana. You don't do this method, this technique, it becomes samatha. So you have to be careful about those teaching, because people who understand, they will know the method and the technique, never define the meditation. Meditation is defined by your understanding, because this meditation as taught by the Buddha, the focus is on developing wisdom. To understand his essential teaching, namely the Four Noble Truths, so that you can have this understanding not to be entangled in life, and it can bring forth the understanding for you to free your mind. That's why you don't have to go through any more suffering. So that is the key. You can call it vipassana or insight meditation or whatever. But the peculiarity of vipassana is there are two parts to the word vipassana. First is the V-I. That V stands for the three universal characteristics of nature. The Buddha, through his realization, he is able to tell mankind that all phenomena in this universe, regardless of whether it's physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they exhibit these universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. And when you have the ability to silence your mind through meditation, to insight into this universal characteristic, then you are able to develop vipassana. Vipassana is to insight into that three universal characteristic. So basically, it's whatever meditation you do, it can lead you to this awakening or understanding, then you can call that training is vipassana meditation or vipassana training. But it is not defined by any method or technique, because vipassana cannot come about through method and technique. It's a realization. You have to insight and awaken. So it's not the doing. The doing is by the thought. You need to silence and just aware. So that is key to understanding this particular meditation. Okay, now we off the line. Then I will give some simple instruction to people who still need instruction. Then the rest you can meditate based on whatever you have developed and understood. Okay. The key to understanding meditation are the two categories of Dhamma, or we call it the two pair. Oh, sorry, the one pair of essential Dhamma that the Buddha frequently talk about. One of them is the five spiritual faculties. The other one is the opposite five. We call it the mental hindrance. According to Lord Buddha, the reason why human beings cannot meditate, they are not able to develop the mind, to have this inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness to meditate, is because they have this mental hindrance. The five mental hindrances are very strong. And this hindrance come about because of delusion and lack of the opposite five, which is the spiritual faculties. So most practitioner or cultivator, before they start, they are lacking in the five spiritual faculty, and because of that, the mental hindrance are very, very strong. And this mental hindrance hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from becoming mindful and aware within the meditate. I will explain later. I'll go into it a bit more after the class, the post-meditation sharing. In order to overcome this problem of lack of spiritual faculty, We need to train our mind using certain skillful means. The so-called mind-sweeping method, this is a skillful mean. It's not a meditation. It's just a skillful mean to train your mind to decondition your heedless thinking so that you don't think, so that this heedlessness, they will be temporarily at bay, so that you can silence your mind to meditate, to develop the inner mindfulness, to understand what is going on within your own form of mind. So this mind-sweeping method is very simple. You just relax body and mind, completely relax. Then make sure you have a stable posture. Check your backbone. Make sure it's fairly straight. Then you relax everything and just feel. Don't think, feel. You start off with your forehead. Maintain some whole attention at your forehead. Just feel. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it. Then relax it. Relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel. Relax. Then sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel. Relax. Make sure each and every strand of muscle within your facial, they are soothingly relaxed. Wherever there is any tension, tightness or stress within, you feel it and relax it. Then in order to help you further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy. And when you have joy, you are peaceful, you are relaxed. You got no tension, no stress, nothing. Then you radiate love and metta. You can read it as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your mind and body, your entire being, each and every cells within, and your entire mind state must have this well-being and happiness. Then you can continue to read it. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. When you mention physical and mental, you must feel physically, mentally, you are free from suffering. Your mind is relaxed, aware, and just peaceful. Then may it too be without danger, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will, and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your heart. Then you relax everything. Then you radiate the same metta to your loved ones. May my loved ones too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful, always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their mind states. Then you can continue to radiate this love and metta to all beings within this vicinity, to all Dhamma friends, fellow meditator. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all physical and mental suffering. Then may their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will, and untroubled. and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then we continue to spread this love and metta to all beings. May all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, our entire Milky Way, and all beings within the entire existence or universe. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be free from all harm and danger, without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful. May there be love, may there be peace, may there be joy deep within their mind states. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle. Just feel, don't think, feel, relax every part. Then you sweep it down to your neck. Feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. Just silence everything and just feel. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration. You just stay with it. Silence everything and just stay with it. Feel. If you are new, if your mindfulness is still not developed, if you still cannot have the sensitivity to feel your own heartbeat or vibration within your chest area, it's okay. You just relax everything and feel like you feel your forehead. Then relax into it. Whatever tension, whatever tightness or stress within you, just relax, relax and relax. Then you move your mind down further to your stomach. Do the same. Just feel, relax. Then you move it down to your abdomen. Again, silent everything. Feel, relax. You can feel the abdomen rising, falling, but don't go and look for it. Just silence everything and maintain mindfulness. Stay there. In that silence, if you can detect that movement, then that is sati. But the one that look for it using the thought is not sati. So if you happen to have that as a meditation object, you should know the difference. Just relax and silence your mind. Then the phenomena will come to you. You don't have to look for it. The moment you are silent enough, mindful enough, the phenomena will be detected. It's just like you detect your breathing. Then breathing in, you're aware. Breathing out, you're aware. Means the awareness and the breath move as one. So similarly for rising, falling is the same. When your mindfulness, the silent mind is there, you will detect that rising and falling on its own. The moment you detect, you just follow. The awareness and the movement move as one without thought. And that is the deep. That is the training. But people who do this is because they don't have the five spiritual faculties. They still need to train their mind. They still need to anchor their mind. They still need to stabilize this so-called mindfulness or sati. So when you understand, then you know what you are doing. It's just the training, nothing else. The real meditation haven't started until you have the ability to stabilize that mindfulness. Then you can be mindful in the midst of life. That is the real sati. Okay, then we move on. You sweep it down further to your leg, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then you reverse the whole mind sweeping method. From the leg, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax every part. Then you sweep it out to your abdomen, silence everything and feel relaxed. Then you move on to your stomach, feel relaxed. Then your chest area again, do the same, silence everything, just feel. Then relax into it. Then you move it up to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, feel, relax. Neck, do the same, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, feel every part, relax. Then eye muscle, feel every part, relax. Then forehead. By now, your heedless thinking, due to your mental hindrance, they are temporary. At bay means they cannot arise. Yeah, this mind sweeping method that you train, you only feel and relax. That's why it has the power to decondition the heedless thinking. When you just feel, you don't think and relax, you do it long enough, the mind got a new habit. It developed a new conditioning. That's why it deconditioned the previous heedless thinking. And now you only feel, relax. And the mind sweeping method has another advantage. It trains your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it will be there. You want it to be at the chest area, it will be there. You want it to be at the abdomen, it will be there. So this training is very useful. It trains you to be aware at the location you want it. Then it also trains you to silence, just feel, no more thinking. By now, your inner peace leading to the inner well-being, the calmness within, with the awareness within, should be more stable. Then in order to stabilize it further, you can use any method or technique that you are familiar with. If you don't have, then you can do anapana sati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapana sati is to train your mind to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. And it's very simple, very easy. You just silence everything and feel your breathing in front of your nostril, like you feel your forehead. Relax everything and just feel. Then the moment you detect the breathing, just allow the mind to flow with it. Like the Buddha's advice, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just follow it. If you have not trained, if you are new, this mind will wander off very fast, become heedless, lost in thought. Split second is gone. But don't worry, be patient. Do not be disturbed by it. Do not develop aversion towards it. Just understand it and tell yourself. The untrained mind is heedless. They will wander off. They will think a lot. So it's okay. As long as you are patient. Every time it wanders off, you bring your attention back to your nostril train. Sooner or later, the mindfulness will develop. Because when you are patient, you don't react with unhappiness. There is no mental hindrance. If you react and stir your mind, develop the unhappiness towards what happened, the ill will, which is a mental hindrance, will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why you cannot meditate. That's why you have to accept the reality that this mind, before it's trained, is heedless, it thinks a lot. So you accept the reality, then patiently go back to the breathing and train that mindfulness. Within a short period, sometimes 5-10 minutes, you will become peaceful. Then as your mindfulness develops, there is no thought, there is only awareness of the in and out breath. So when you are mindful without thought, there is sati. And when sati arises, you will experience piti, which is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy. Then as you continue to relax into it, this piti will transform into a more refined mind state, which we call sukha. Sukha is a blissful state of mind, but this is not enlightenment factor. This one can lead to attachment, clinging, grasping. So when you experience sukha, you have to be careful. Do not allow yourself to be drawn into it. Then through memory, you accumulate that experience. Then every time you meditate, you look forward to experience that. But that will become an attachment. The problem is when conditions differ, like good food, if every day you eat, it's no longer what it is. So this type of experience is the same when you find it quite easy to get. Then after a while, that same experience become nothing special. Then when you cannot get what you want, you become unhappy, and that is the mental hindrance. Ill will, unhappiness of mind. The mind that is no longer at peace. Because of that, you cannot meditate. So, one have to be careful. As I just relax into it and allow it to be, the mind will settle down. The mind will become peaceful, quiet, because of sati, mindfulness, spiritual faculty. Then as you relax, this sukha will become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, until it hit pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, without any movement. When you can hit that, I rejoice with you, because that is the meditative mind, that is the silent mind. Then when you have this pasati, the stillness of mind or tranquility of mind, you just silent everything, don't do anything, just silent, relax, and allow it to stabilize. You accumulate into samadhi. After a while, you accumulate into what they call samadhi, which is an enlightenment factor. And this samadhi is not a conditioned state, it's not in energy field, it's not in one-pointedness or absorption, concentration. It's still a free mind, completely on its own, without thought, but no movement. That's the power of samadhi. That's the power of pasati. So I will allow you to meditate, to train your mind accordingly. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 or 15 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Ah, yeah. Just in time. Then, always remember the mind. For those who still need to train, you have to train this mind. Otherwise, you have to work hard on your spiritual faculties. Your mind will become peaceful, aware on its own when your spiritual faculty is developed and stabilized. So always remember, don't fight the hindrance. Don't try to control, suppress, or use concentration to fix it. The point. The key to developing this mind is to develop the opposite by spiritual faculty. Like I explained just now. You look at the chart here. This is the five mental hindrances. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, which is sleepiness of mind or lethargic mind. Then restlessness of mind. The last one is doubt. When you have these five mental states, they are called mental hindrances. They will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. And it's very easy to understand because this is your common sense. If you understand that sensual desire and ill will are the mind state that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, then you have to develop the ability to see this happening in you, in your daily life. Then you know why you are not peaceful, why you are heedless. Because as a human being, we are born with a physical body with five physical senses. We can see, we can hear, we can smell, we can taste and tactile feel. Then we have the mind door that allows us to recall through memory or through whatever that we have been holding on in our mind. So when you got fear, worry, anxiety, it will condition your mind to be restless because you worry about it. You have anxiety because that thing which you feel is important has not been resolved. Then when you fear that something which will happen can affect you in such a big way, that fear also will make you restless and worry. So these are called mental hindrances, because when you have this fear, worry, anxiety, you cannot meditate. The mind just cannot become peaceful. Then it throughout the day, every moment of seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness, if you react and stir to what you see, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, these are all mental hindrances. If throughout the day you arise it so often, it will make you heedless because this becomes habit. And every moment you arise this mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why normal human beings who don't have the spiritual faculty, they think a lot, they worry a lot, they have a lot of problems. They want to have some moment of peace. They can't. That's why they run after meditation. They try to go and seek peace. They focus their mind. They concentrate their mind. They anchor it. That's why very popular for people who teach meditation to give you a method and a technique to fix your mind, to anchor your mind so that you can develop some form of peacefulness. But that is not the intention of what the Buddha has taught us. The Buddha make it very clear, if these hindrances are there, you don't have to fight it. You just develop awareness of it, mindfulness of it, that you have this. They arise because you lack the opposite five, which are the spiritual faculty. So this is the one that you have to develop. That's why just now, puja, that is one of the skillful ways to develop the spiritual faculty. When we develop the chanting, we recall to mind the great virtue of Sakyamuni Buddha, Lord Buddha. Then we develop the faith in him. Then we recall the teaching that he has taught us. The triple gem, not only the Buddha, the Dhamma, which is the teaching that he has taught. That Dhamma is so special, it can bring about enlightenment, awakening. It can liberate your mind and free you from all suffering. So when you understand that he is so wise, so virtuous, and so special a being, you will have a lot of respect and gratitude towards him. That's why your faith in him become very different. Then later on, it can become so powerful, it's unshakable. And you will develop the second spiritual faculty, which is virya, or spiritual zeal, spiritual tenacity, to walk this way, to cultivate this teaching, or the meditation that he has taught us. The reason being, you already know he is so wise, he is so virtuous and so special. That's why your faith will drive you to cultivate, because you see the importance of his teaching. You see the importance of training your mind so that it is no longer heedless, so that it is no longer with the mental hindrance that will make you miserable or afflicted in life. So this virya, the moment it arises, it will drive you to meditate. Then you only have to train your mind to be aware, mindful. Formal meditation is a very good condition to train, because you are not disturbed, you are alone. Your senses are mostly not active, down. That's why you can silent and train and meditate. If in this type of special condition or state or setting or tranquil setting, you also cannot meditate, then when you are active in life, you don't stand a chance. That's why the training in the formal meditation is useful. But after the training, the mind that is trained listens to you. When you want it to be silent, it will be silent. When you want it to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. When you want it to be aware, it just aware. And that is the trained mind. Whereas the untrained mind think a lot, heedless. You want it to be peaceful, it doesn't listen to you. Like Cantonese say, Choi Le Dong Ong, he who got problem with the thought. So meditation is a struggle when you don't understand. Where you struggle to be peaceful. You struggle to be aware, mindful. But because of the hindrance, you cannot stop it. So that's why they go into concentration, focusing, samatha, absorption, one-pointedness. And this is all not vipassana. It is samatha. It's a form of energy field, concentration. If you do that type of meditation, you will be thought-based. You will experience a lot of peacefulness, calmness, stillness, absorption, everything. Like your mind is already very different. But that is just an experience. Because the latent tendency under sayak, the defilement, your delusion, especially self-delusion, they are all suppressed, not rooted out. Even the five mental hindrances, they are still there, but cannot surface because of your energy, because of your samatha energy. So this conditioned state is not a free mind. You cannot develop wisdom out of that type of meditation. That's why you have to come back to sati, mindfulness. Mindfulness is just relax, aware, the mind and the kaya or activity as one. The breath is one aspect of your form, kaya. Rising, falling, also one aspect of your form. Even your chanting, whatever. When the awareness and the chanting is one, that is the specific phenomenal awareness, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomenon, that is sati. So sati, the moment you develop, your mind becomes quiet. Yeah? It is without thought. It's just aware. That's how you can see things as they are. Then you have to stabilize it. Otherwise, at the moment of sense experience, you don't have samadhi, means the mind is not collected and unwavering, then it will stir. When it stir, mental hindrance arise, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So you cannot see things as they are. You will see things according to what your mind tells you, your conditioning, your belief system, your tradition. and all those that you hold on in your memory, then you act according to memory. And this memory is all of your accumulation of your experiences, good and bad. And they are the collective mind state that you hold and accumulate inside memory. And this could be your scars of memory, your phobia, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your unhappiness, your insecurity. Then sometimes it's your own craving, desire, selfishness, and your delusion. And all this, you accumulate them because you thought that is life. Then when you act according to memory, you act according to your greed, your selfishness, your fear, your anxiety, your conditioning, your belief system. So these are all wrong thoughts. That's why when you act according to memory, you are not acting at all, because you are developing delusion. So I wrote here, according to what Krishnamurti has written, Krishnamurti said, acting according to memory is not acting at all. Now you understand. Your memory is an accumulation of all your delusion, your evil roots, your mental negativity, your fear, your phobia, your selfishness, your self-delusion, your views and opinion of things. And you cannot see things as they are. You see things according to your conditioned mind, conditioned perception. Then how should you act in life? That's why Krishnamurti says you have to act according to wisdom or understanding. And that is true action. That is also what the Buddha taught. You must have right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right understanding. That is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. So when you have right view, you have understanding, you have wisdom, then you act. Means you act without delusion. Then it will condition you to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right efforts and all this will follow. Then you must have mindfulness to see all this. Yeah. And you must understand the essential Dhamma, what conditioned you to act that way. So the essential Dhamma are the three evil roots that make you evil. So you have to understand what constitutes evil. Then when you want to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, and right life, you must understand what are they, the essential Dhamma of non-greed, non-selfishness, and non-delusion. So all this, when you have them, your spiritual faculty will help you. Then when sati and samadhi is there, your mind does not waver, your memory does not come in and interfere. That's why you see things as they are, without word, without concept, without delusion. Then that is what the Buddha wants you to see, meditation through vipassana. To see things as they are, jnana dasana, to awaken to the universal characteristic, not through a thought, not through thinking. That's why when you can see things as they are, without words, that is the reality, that is true. Then you can see the dependent origination. Everything is dependent originating. He no me, he no you within. There is no permanent, unchanging entity within. Then you start to understand thing is just the way it is. No word, no name, no labeling. That's why the thought cannot come in and create duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Where all this come from your self-delusion. You don't understand the thought process. You cling on to what the thought tells you. The thought is very, very deceiving. It creates words and concepts to divide and entangle your mind. Just one word, religion. It divides humanity into all the various religions, all the different religious label. Then you have a lot of argument, conflict, different type of understanding. Then race alone, one word, divide. That's the cause of suffering. That's the cause of war, conflict, misunderstanding. Because through thought we divide, and we deludedly grasp and cling because we identify ourselves that way. Then you look at external form. You cannot understand what is behind the form. That's why when you cannot see form, you cannot see mind. And when you cannot see mind, you cannot see beyond mind. You cannot see the reality, the truth, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why development of wisdom has to come from the silent mind. When there is sati and samadhi stabilized, this is a silent mind without thought. And this one can see things as they are to arise the wisdom, the understanding. That's why the moment the spiritual faculty are there, the hindrance, they cease to be. When you have faith, there is no more doubt. When you have virya, there is no more sleepiness, sloth and torpor. When you have sati and samadhi, the mind is collected and unwavering. It does not react, it does not stir. Sensual desire and ill will cannot arise. The mind also cannot become restless. That's why with these four spiritual faculties, wisdom will arise. And when wisdom arises, all these five cease. Where the mind is no longer deluded. The mind understands. And it just allows it to be. Where form and mind is just form and mind. Untrained is like that. Heedless is like that. Deluded is like that. Then you can start to understand not only yourself. You start to understand fellow living beings. You start to understand the world, the phenomenal world, the condition arising world. Then through this understanding, you will penetrate into the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self as taught by the Buddha. Every phenomenon in this universe, whether it's physical phenomena, mental or nature's phenomena, they exhibit this characteristic. That's why they are impermanent, not a permanent and changing entity. Dependent on condition, they arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. It follows the great law of nature. It cannot be otherwise. So if you want thing your way, which is not according to nature's law, suffering will arise. That's why the first noble truth, the eight condition, one of them, the seven condition is, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, suffering will be the result. Then the final summary, the Buddha said, in short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp, cling and hold to this fine aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's you and this human being is real. When you cannot penetrate all this through meditation, then you cannot free your mind. You only have Dhamma knowledge. You don't have wisdom. You don't have understanding. Okay, so this is just for the benefit of those who are still new. So when you focus on the spiritual faculty, then naturally your mind is in the meditative state. Well, with the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance no more, there is nothing to hinder you from becoming heedless, from becoming peaceful, from becoming aware. So naturally, when the five spiritual faculty is cultivated and stabilized, you are in a meditative state throughout the day. You don't have to train. Technically, you don't have to train. You don't even have to sit. In whatever posture you are throughout the day, whether standing, sitting, walking, or lying down, you are in the meditative state. Where your spiritual faculty is there. Sati is there. Samadhi is there. And when sati and samadhi stabilize, your understanding and wisdom is there. That's why this mind is no longer deceived, deluded. The human being or the form of mind, the five aggregate connected with this understanding is no longer deluded, no longer heedless. And because it's trained, the spiritual faculty are there. That's why it cannot fall back. Hindrance cannot arise. And this is the right way to understand meditation. Not just doing, doing, doing without understanding. a lot of people seek peace. They try to concentrate, focus, and become very peaceful, very calm. But that is not the ultimate objective of developing the meditation and stop by the Buddha, because the Buddha's teaching is very simple. He wants you to awaken, develop wisdom, to free your mind, not to do psychic and magic. That one will not help you, because sooner or later, your physical body will go the way of nature. You will get old, get sick, and one day die. Then when you are about to die, it's not easy when you don't have this understanding, when you have not realized who you are, what you are. Like that day Suyan text me. It's very pitiful. One of our classmates, university mate, mechanical engineer, I think the condition is quite bad. Yeah, he got liver cancer. So, quite bad. Then he went to Singapore finally, but also doesn't seem to have much help. Then he go and ask another good friend of his, what happened when I die? Where did my soul go? That was the WhatsApp that Suyan forwarded to me. So what do you think? Yeah? What is death? Huh? What is death? Huh? Oh, wait. Very good. Okay, yeah. On it. Push, sideways.
It's the end of one segment of life.
True, end of that segment of the life, but have to go deeper, because that is just telling us how to die. But you don't know what the death process is. Who die? What die? That segment that die through the form in mind. Yeah? Let's draw it up. That's how you will develop understanding. So this one, the so-called human being, or the Buddha called it the five aggregate of form and mind, die. Okay? So this one, die. So far, easy to follow, isn't it? Can accept, isn't it? So what is the meaning of this fellow die? No more heartbeat, isn't it? True or not? Cannot talk, isn't it? Doctor do autopsy, also no feeling, isn't it? Then you cry, you call, no response, isn't it? But that guy dying has a lot of fear. What happened after I die? Where did my soul go? He believed there is a soul. You believe or not? And what is a soul? They believe it's a permanent and changing mind consciousness that follow you life after life. Means reincarnation. Means that mind continue. And that is the, they call it the permanent eternal mind. The Buddha said there is no such thing. And you can know when you meditate. Very easy. No need to believe, no need to speculate, no need to wait for God to come and save you. You read the actual question now, see? You got the actual question. We go by the question, easier to understand. Yeah.
So he wrote, my terminal ill friend asked me to seek the answer for him that when he die, what will happen
to the soul?
What will happen to and where his soul would be?
What will happen to him and where his soul
would
be?
So he asked me to forward the
answer to him. So the question is, when he die, what will happen? Then where does the soul go? He wants to know. Because there is this fear. Fear of dying. How to smile? Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's why I totally cannot recall this word. You're up there, don't have anything. Yeah. When you all say DY, then I recall. You don't say something, the memory is somewhere, but not linked. They call it random access memory, not attachment memory. Attachment memory, you got very good memory. You remember very well. You keep on wanting to remember. So fear of dying. So the question is, who die, what die? You say human being die, okay? What is this human being? The Buddha say is a form and mind. Yeah? Form and mind. Form is the physical body. Physical body. Mind is the mental consciousness. So I ask you one very simple question. Both of these, can it die? In the first place, you must understand how this one arises. How it arises. How do you arise? Of course, you tell me you are born into this world. Yeah. But what are the things that support you and make you alive, animate you into a human form? That can arise the feeling, the thought process that can allow you to be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. That can make you emotional. Sometimes things go your way, you are happy, jump for joy. When things don't go for your way, you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety, you have sadness, sorrow, lamentation. So who are you? What are you? What is it that keep you alive? Huh? We talked about it before, isn't it? There are three conditions in there. What are the three conditions that sustain the human life? Huh? Karmic force. Huh? The three conditions that make you alive. First one is, I think no need to write. I better write. Otherwise, people who don't attend class, they cannot understand. Three conditions that keep you alive. First, coming force, okay? Or sometimes they call it the life force. So when destructive karma comes, what happens? The life force no more. So when there is no more life force, no more karmic force, your heartbeat stops. Understand? There is nothing to pump the heart. And when your heartbeat stops, your blood cannot flow. Your brain, your organ don't get nourishment. They stop functioning. Then what happened? Breathing also stop. Understand? Prajna, oxygen, all no more. That's why very fast, this physical body, the four elements, go back to nature. Because these are the four elements. It cannot die, understand not? No knowing. In the first place, there is no knowing. Cannot be you, understand? That's why this one is elements. The four elements. They go the way of nature. That's why it returns to nature. The four elements disperse. The first to disperse is what? Just now you went through. the wind element, heartbeat no more. No more pulse. No more breathing. After the wind element, you feel cold. No more heat. These two gone. But the earth element and the water element take some time. That's why there is this decay process. They call it the 9 stages of cementary decomposition. The body will degenerate according to that one. That's why the Buddha during the ancient day, he wants the monk to meditate on the 9 stages of cementary decomposition. That is to prevent them from being deluded by the physical form, by the beauty, by the what they call deceiving nature of that form. Because when you are young, the form is healthy, understand? Sometimes pretty, handsome. So it can lure you, it can draw you, the lust, the craving to have that type of form. But when it's devoid of consciousness, when this consciousness ceases to be, what happens? When this consciousness go out, this one is actually not the soul. They believe it's a soul. It's just a consciousness. The random of consciousness. So this one is not correct. So when the consciousness leaves the body, they say this fellow die. You know why? Because it cannot stay there anymore. There is no more life force. The organ cannot be nourished. Then this consciousness cannot stay there because it's just like that house is inhabitable anymore. Well, you cannot control the physical activity already. That mind that is inside cannot arise seeing already. Because all this is just like a car, your car. You must have all the condition, service it properly, all the parts, the petrol, the engine part. Nothing go wrong. And then it functions. Then the driver can drive the car, then animate and do whatever you want. But the moment the life force is gone, this physical body is like all the parts shut down. Then you put in Formula One driver also, it cannot start the car. Well, everything doesn't move because it's not connected anymore, not nourished anymore. Means there is no more battery power to power the car. So no battery power to power the car, how can it start? If it cannot start, unless you go and push, understand? But the car that have to push cannot last long, understand? So it will not run. But even if you push, you act like a starter, understand? Then you get the thing running again. But life force, you push, cannot come back, understand? So it's different. So what is happening is, when consciousness separate from the physical, you call die. Because one of the conditions that is required for you to be alive is no more. This karmic force is gone. That's why it's die. The second one is what? You must have a proper form, physical form, that is functioning. Functioning means what? Means your organ or the spinal cord all connected, understand? You understand? If the spinal cord is gone, or the liver cancer guy, the liver is gone, how to do the function of the liver? It's supposed to filter all your whatever poison and all those things. So that liver's function is gone. That's why liver function test in your blood test is very important. Then your blood also very important. That's why when you have disease, cancer, mutation, immune system low, then all your organs will be affected. So sometimes karmic force still there. But when all these organs start to fail, your heart starts to fail, your liver starts to fail, your brain starts to fail, your memory all starts to fail, then you like shut down, the physical form shut down. You can follow. Then it's like a house that is no longer inhabitable, and that's how everything is not working already, most of it. So you have to leave. So this life force come also no use. You want to pump the heart already 90% failure. Got that output, everything not working. Then you got high hypertension, you got high blood pressure, you got diabetes, you got a lot of other type of illness and disease related thing. So this physical body or physical form has to be in a functioning state. Then the last one is what? There must be consciousness. Without this one, you cannot become conscious. You cannot create all your seeing consciousness, hearing conscious, smell, taste, tactile, and thought conscious. You cannot hear my voice. That's why a dead man with eye cannot see. Got the other senses cannot arise the sense of consciousness to experience the world, to know the world, to interact with the world. So these three, they are called condition arising. These are the three conditions. So these are called condition arising entity. Condition arising entity. That's why it's not a permanent and changing entity. So the moment it arises in your mother's womb, initially there has to be conception between the parents. Okay? After conception, what happened? The life force doesn't come yet. The biological part, they will have to evolve. Then you know. Initially, it's just the single cell, sperm and ovum. Then they, you call what? Germinate or what? It's not germinate. By your student. Fertilizer, correct. Thank you, Amy. Get fertilized. Fertilized, then it will stop divide. The cells will stop divide. Then, you know, after how many weeks, only the senses starts to form. You follow? Now the scientists very good. Oh, they can every week. They can show you on the computer. You know. Yeah, I think they video it or don't know what. I am not sure, but I saw it before. You know. The changes week by week they show it to you. Yeah. Then how the fetus is formed. Yeah. But all the while in the womb. But supported by the mother. Understand? Through the umbilical cord and all those things. Then what happens is, the baby's heartbeat comes later. And that is the time the consciousness went in already. Then by then, most of the organs are formed already. So, as a baby, as a fetus, the moment you are born, you come out, this consciousness is very pure. Understand? This one is very pure. That's why they say the kid, they are very naive, very cute. Because they got no cunningness. Understand? They are very cute. They are just being natural, sincere. That's why you look at them, when they look at everything, we have no word, no concept, nothing. They just look so cute. There is no cunningness inside there. That's all. It's only very cute. Then, the way they smile also, you know, unless the body physical got pain or what, that make them affected through the tactile, then they will cry. Or when they are used to what they call good dry condition. Then suddenly they pee, or they cry. So my mother always tell me, two things only. Either he pee or he's hungry. Because I got 9 brothers and sisters, I'm the second one. I had to learn how to look after them. And every time I saw my younger brother and sister, they all cry. My nature is, I can't stand all this crying because something must be wrong, otherwise they won't cry. Then I'll call my mother. My mother said, forget about it. As long as you check these two things, let them cry. Because he said, 9 of you all, I've got time. As long as they are fed, then let them get used to the pee. He said. Understand? After they cry and they're tired, they will stop crying. Then I observe, really true, cry and they're tired, sleep. Then my mother told me, you very good, you different from them. You very easy to look after. You know what my mother told me? This one came from my mother and my grandmother. He said, every time I want to pee, I will just, 1 hour. Then if nobody come after 10, 15 minutes or what, one more time. And then my mother will know, bring me down and pee. Then when I'm hungry, also I don't cry. I will move the Yao Lama, they use the cloth and the spring one, the sarong. I will kick them. Then my mother know, hungry, need to eat. It's very easy to raise me. And my mind, when I was young, I saw my own photo. Very innocent, very cute one. Very, very different. That's why my mother used to tell me, very easy to look after you. But my grandmother, Tabale, he worried about me. You know why she worried about me? He said, I never talk. Even until the age of 3, I only smile. So he thought I dumb. Then in Hakka is Alo. I think Pamasuri will know. Then when I grew up, I like to stay at home. I don't have much friend when I was young. Then my grandmother thought, this one difficult to survive. Don't have friend. Then after Form 5, when I did very well, my result very good, a lot of people came and visit me. My grandmother got a shock. She said, I didn't know you got so much friend. Because being uneducated is not that. So what I try to explain is, you have to understand how this baby evolved. Because I look back when I was young, this was very pure. Until the age of 6, my mind, like clean slate, beautiful. That consciousness is very different. But the moment at the age of 6+, going to 7, they transfer me back, the whole family go back to Alostar. That place, notorious area. Gangster, drug, everything is there. And that was how my mind get contaminated. Because you had to mix around and all those things. Then, during the early days, we don't know English. We only know dialect. And when we speak dialect, you know what other thing you learn first? The foul language. So when I went to school, Standard 1, all the other class, that was the best English school in Kedah or Alostar. And most of them, the parents are educated one. And most of them are professionals, royalty, and people with status. But because my father value education, he said, must go to the best one. Pay also, never mind, go. So I went there, English. I got problems. Standard 1, Standard 2, I was last and second last in the class. I don't understand what is going on. Then every time I use dialect, they don't like to talk to me. Most of the time, it's the foul language come on. So when it gets contaminated, it's so fast, It doesn't take 6 years, you know. It takes less than 6 months. You know. That's how, when I grew up, I still don't understand. Then I saw how this one get conditioned. The brain, the mind get conditioned. And you are what you are because of the conditioning. But there is another thing that I came to realize which makes the difference between everyone. There is such thing as a law of karma that you inherit. Then I realized my karmic nature was so different. I can understand things very fast. The moment I understand the language, standard 3 onward, I did very well. I went into special class. I supposed to go like Suyan, express class. But because I only did it when I was in standard 3, my result good. So too late to go for express class. Express class is normally standard 1. Then straight away they jump you to standard 3. So what happened was I joined them in the special class. That's like standard 4 special. Yeah. With all those who jump 1 year on. Yeah. Then after that, that understanding on itself, it comes on. No? Form 4, form 5, when I know science, geography, the mind probe. Look at the sky. I like to look at the sky, clear sky at night. Then I keep on asking, who am I? What am I doing here? One of the miserable, one in 5 over billion Earth population. One of the miserable planet of this solar system. And there are countless of this star system that are either bigger or, if not equal, or slightly smaller than our sun. So this probe was so intense that finally it concluded, I have to meditate to understand. Otherwise I cannot understand. I leave it at that. Then I don't even know what is meditation. That's how this mind, with its karmic inheritance, is very powerful. When the time comes, it probes. Then the moment I received that book, when I was in lower 6, what Buddhists believe, Chief Reverend Kesari Dabananda, first edition, I saw the Four Noble Truths. Oh, straight away, this nature is like, jump for joy and say, no need to search, this is the real one. Nobody can do that. Even when I was reading that Four Noble Truths, the moment I read, I understand. Like, this thing is very familiar. Then, it knew. How can it summarize all of life, mundane and supramundane, into just 4 beautiful truths? Even if my nature were to become enlightened at that time, it sincerely say it cannot do it. That must be the real Samasambuddha. That's why after that, I developed a lot of condition with the Buddha Dharma. Immediately when I went to uni, MU, first day I met Kesari Dhammananda. I listened to his talk, beautiful English. Then I went back meditate, and that night a lot of things happened. I just said for the first time, I went into the meditation for 4 hours. Yeah, a lot of things happened. Then I went to Brickfield. Then after that, everything just followed. The teacher come, the guide come. Whatever that is required, it just come. That's why this one move very fast. So what we try to develop to understand is this consciousness that evolved come from a single rebirth consciousness. At the moment of rebirth, it's just one thought consciousness. They call it the rebirth consciousness. But there are two types. One is born out of delusion, ignorance, karma. The other one is the bodhisattva that come through the pure mind. Yeah. Love and compassion. No delusion. So this consciousness that go in, it gets conditioned. Conditioned by the person who look after you, your parents, your brothers, your sister. Then later on, by your culture, your religious belief. Then the education, the media, and whatever that you have in society, like nowadays, you got even this WhatsApp notebook. In our time, it was not heard of. But as society evolve and develop, all this come. So as all this conditioning comes in, it makes this consciousness more and more complex. Complex means what? You start to accumulate all this knowledge, all this belief system, all this conditioning. So this one will make you very confused if you don't cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, if you don't meditate. You don't know what is right, what is wrong. You will have a lot of self-delusion. You will have a lot of ignorance. Then it keep on arising, the mental hindrance to make you heedless. And when you are heedless, you get yourself entangled in life. You cannot free. So when you understand this tree, how it come and how it move you, that's why this karmic force is from karma. And the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So this one influenced this form and mind in a very great way. When you understand that this is the main one causing you all of the experiences that you come to experience in life, because you are born of it, had conditions supported by it. You are what you are because of karma. So if karma plays such a great role, almost 100%, 99.99% is karmically driven, what must you do? You have to take care of karma. That's why you must have the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, the good, and purify your mind. That's why you must train your mind to be ever mindful. Then only you can keep your precepts to avoid evil. If you don't even know what constitutes evil, you don't have mindfulness and heedfulness to see the evil root, you cannot keep your precept. You cannot deal with defilement. That's why the whole teaching center on this right view with regards to law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. If you understand this law, you will never, never be heedless. You will never go the way of the heedless living to arise all the karmic negativity to cause your karmic nature to fall. Then when the condition arise, the form and mind will experience all of the friction of the karmic negativity, and you will have a lot of suffering. You reap what you sow means whatever you do to people will come back to you when there is condition. Like you cheat people, deceive people, harm people, take advantage of people, cause misery to people. You inflicted so much suffering, misery, until they have so much phobia, fear, worry, anxiety, and some even go into depression, suicidal, and all things. So if you push drug to people, also same. When the condition arise for you to receive the fruition, you become the victim. People will harm you, kill you, deceive you, cheat you, push drug to you. Then if you are a parent, you don't do your duty, you become irresponsible, you gamble, you drink, you neglect your family. What happened? In future when you come, you will have parents that also neglect you. So now you see, yeah? Then they also gamble and drink. Then you ask yourself, why is God so unfair? How come my parents like that? Why can't I get a parent like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and all those things? Then you blame your mother. Your mother married the wrong guy. But it's all your karma. That's nothing to do with your mother and your father. How you end up in your father and mother also your karma. That's how you are born of it, had to it. So this is very important. If you know this is the one that caused so much influence to your life, and it affects you so much, you have to take care of karma. And to do it, you must train your mind to be aware, mindful. That's why meditation comes about. You must have this understanding. Then after this one, live life for very long, let's say, like most of us, maybe some 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus. Nobody above 70, yeah? Anybody? No, still young. Now the latest category, yeah? They categorize old people as above 80. Then only you consider old. Otherwise, you are still a youth before 65. So don't console yourself. You see, this is the consciousness that accumulate, understand? It keep on accumulate. Means all of your memory, your conditioning, your belief system, it becomes so complex. And this is the bundle of memory. You remember? I taught you bundle of memories. That is the one that we call when you die, this is the consciousness that come out, random of consciousness. And this is a bundle of memory. Memories. This one come out. Understand? Because when I was young, this one came out before. That's why I understand. And I saw up there my physical body. I can hear things. The senses are still there, although not connected to the physical. My brother came in, I saw the whole thing very clear. Yeah. That's why people tell you out of body experience. Nothing like you call it what? Mystical. Nothing mystical. This one can come out. When you got shock or you are in coma, it come out. When you know how to meditate also, it can come out. But I came out because I was so tired. When I was young, I played until that day. I totally exhausted until I got not even enough breath and energy to come back and rest. The moment I reached my house, I went to my bedroom, I pump like a lock. I went in. Because so tired, so exhausted. Then I don't know how to meditate at that time. But for the first time, when I went now, that is this awareness inside. That time I didn't know it was awareness. That mind, that's why you will know how to die on another. You will not have problem on. It's fully aware inside there. Then this awareness is aware of the physical body's conditional. How through that tiredness, it can't even got any energy to do anything. The brain, the mind, the consciousness just want to rest. Then what happened was there is not even enough energy to hold the consciousness together. That's how I felt the craving force dissipate. The craving force that bind me to this body dissipate. Then no more. Then it come into one. This three area of consciousness come into one. Then all of a sudden it come out. That's how I know. Otherwise, how can I share and teach it to you? If it's only theory, I will not teach. I will just tell you. I heard from people. Or the books say. Understand? But if I dare to tell you, means I went through. This nature went through. And this nature in the past already got this understanding. That's why you understand how the craving forces, that how this random consciousness can come out. But that nature that come out, the random consciousness that come out with the nature, no delusion, no fear, nothing. Fully aware. That's why there is no death. Nothing die. Just separation from the form. Then when my brother walked in, he was looking for something and he say a lot of things. Then I call him. He cannot hear me. To me, it was like I call very loud. Cannot hear me. Then when he went out, then only I realized something wrong. Then I realized I was up there. My body was down there. So the first thing I need to do was to go into my body. I cannot go in because the silver cord was severed. I technically died I came out. That was, I was only 8, 9 years old at that time. I think 8 plus. Then somehow this nature know what to do. You know. It just give it a struggle, you know, push it, bam, it went in. You know, then it took control back the body. The first thing I want to make sure is it was not a hallucination or a dream. I straight away went out. I was very sure, but I want to confirm with my brother. I straight away went out and talked to my dear brother. I said, did you just now went in, say all this, then look for all this, then you came out? He looked at me. He said, you were sleeping like a log. How did you know? I said, never mind. Thank you. I just want to know that he really went in. One of my younger brother. That's how all this, this nature can understand how it function, how it works. And it's meant to be so that when I later grew up, when I developed the meditation, my nature can understand all this and share this understanding with the world. You don't have to speculate. You don't have to put wire all over the monitor. It can come out. And this one never die because consciousness is energy. Science student will know. Energy will never die. You understand? Law of conservation of mass and energy. They just get converted. That's why E equals MC squared. Metal and energy are related. Unconscious only. When you are unconscious means your brain, certain part that is responsible for consciousness, that switch is switched off. Not few seconds. Sometimes they put chloroform. You can black out for a few hours. After operation, you wake up. Also, you got no memory at all. Completely no memory at all. Because that switch was switched off. Switch off means what? All of the heedless thinking, subconscious, unconscious, arising of conscious, didn't happen. That's why no memory. If it happened, like dreamer, you wake up, you can recall your dream. Understand? Because this subconscious movement, unconscious movement, still there, activity. Then if you are mindful, aware, you can be inside, aware of all this movement. That's how I tell you 24-hour meditation is possible. Because this nature, this awareness went in, and it never sleep. Then when it woke up, even after the 8 hour or 6 hour, that same thought come out. And the whole of the body and the face, like didn't sleep. I don't have to wash my face. Not like after you sleep, you feel the sleepy face. You have to wash your face. No need. Like I didn't sleep. And every movement inside, how it creates subconscious arising of thought and dream, all is aware. That's why it's very different. Very different. So what happens is when there is this problem with the body, when the body dies, means karmic force switch off, then this one starts to deteriorate. Understand? Deteriorate means what? Like when I'm very tired, what happens? I don't even have the energy to sustain the craving force. That's why all this cannot hold the consciousness to the body. Then the consciousness comes back. And you can leave the body. But if the karmic force totally switch off, means what? You're not only tired, no. You totally don't have the supporting energy. Even the little bit also don't have. Means you almost completely no more energy. And then I say this one decay. Deteriorate. Then this consciousness, which is the life force, cannot stay there. We have the craving force or no more. Then it dissipates. Then this one will come back. But because you have fear, you fear of death, you fear of dying, you fear of the unknown. So this one, through karmic, take over. That's why you become unconscious. You no longer conscious. You are no longer who you are. They say huan xiong in Hokkien. You heard that word? It's no more you talking. It's somebody inside there say, I saw who and who. Or most of these are the dead people. Where your frequency has reached the frequency of that dead people, that rhyme. a lot of people before they died, they say they saw. There was a cancer patient who told me also, the sister. Mm. Then I told her, yes, because your vibration has reached that level, you're about to die. But luckily, within that 1-2 days, he met me, explained, then the confidence come back, the faith, then she meditated, she recovered. Mm. So all this, you can develop the understanding. Even when you have to die, that's why I replied to Suyan, there is no soul. Understand? No one died. Who died? At the moment of death, don't have fear. This fear is the worst. When there is fear, evil condition, negative state, your rebirth. Because chances is, when you have fear, you don't have wisdom, you don't have understanding. You are not enlightened yet. So this fear will condition, very negative condition, for rebirth consciousness to be taken in a very, very bad rhyme. Do not fear, because nothing die. You can go through the death process very easily, especially people who have the Dhamma. If you have developed mindfulness, awareness, technically you cannot die. You are fully aware of the whole process and how you come out. That's why a lot of you hope to be enlightened before they die. But the problem is, karma take over before that thing happen. So when karma take over, you lost your ability. Because you lack mindfulness, you lack awareness. You are not connected to your true nature. That's why you cannot deal with death. Karma take over. And a lot of things about karma you cannot understand. That's why that day at Wu Ping Jing Se, you remember the sister Chin, Mindy? How many of you heard that recording? Only one. You better go and listen. She was very new, but she has a lot of faith. She was very sincere. Then, after attending a few months of this class, he liked to come to Sunday class. Then she was so sincere. She asked very sincere question. She was very new. And because she asked very sincere question, and she was very sincere, the faith was there. The moment I explained, she understand. Then she tried. She couldn't do. And I tell you, even the talk before that, he was able to maintain the mindfulness even when he was trying to sleep, no? Awareness. So he shared one part which was very interesting. He said, Tuesday class, that day, was it Tuesday or Thursday class? I forgot already. Yeah? Tuesday class. No, she said she was listening to the tape, the recording. Somebody talked about the consciousness thing. I don't know, was Ing B or who. She mentioned the name also inside the transcript. Form and all those things. He said, he went into the awakened state. No? She used the word awakened state. No? But I put it in inverted comma under the transcript. Because he went into the shift of consciousness. He said, all of a sudden that the mind is not the ordinary mind. No? It's like the awakened state, which is the true mind. No? He said, no word, nothing. No. It was aware of this so-called physical body, but no word. No. Then he tried to describe it. He said, like form like that only. No word, no concept. But the moment the thought come in and try to perceive it, the solidity, everything come out already. That was earlier on. No. Then the last Sunday, previous Sunday, she didn't attend the class. Miss Lee told me she went for a retreat in Penang. Oh, I say, good for her. With that type of ability, she go retreat. Her mind will be very different. Then Miss Lee told me, your brother, he said, got a lot of things to share with you. She's coming back next week. Then when she came back, I almost forgot about it. We almost ending already, I remember. Then Miss Lee stopped me, you know. Say, Pratio, Mindy, Sister Ching got a lot of things to share. So we let her share. And you know what she shared? It seems in the past, her nature actually went through very, very severe type of life experience. She went to hell many, many rounds, and very severe. Then later on come out, rebirth as fishes and all those things. Yeah. But this one is not psychic one. This one is because she also don't know how to use the word. He told me that she got a lot of experience. You go and listen to that talk. But one part she described towards the end was, is it real? Is it when I was in that state of mind and all that? Suddenly she looked inside the mind or the nature. She used the word sanya. So I thought it was perception or sanya. Then when she described, I knew she used the wrong word. Actually, that mind, because in the past she has done energy field, psychic ability. He went into the alaya consciousness. You know what is alaya consciousness? Storehouse consciousness. That thing showed to her, no? For so many lives, you know, suffering in hell, terrible. Then that nature knew, because after it came out, it decided to cultivate like anything. Then she even described, you know, when she saw those fishes and all those things. And she straight away tell me her past life, you know. Where got people so confident? A lot are psychic one, not the real one. You know how she can tell me, you know? She said, well, in that, she used the wrong word, sanya, is alaya konya. The mind, inside that understand when he saw those fishes, it actually replay back during that time of death and how he take that birth of the fish. He saw what are the karmic that he did that conditioned her to went into hell and come out and take birth as fish. Then she even say in tears that the Buddha Dharma is very difficult to encounter. That's why she has the condition to meet my nature. And when she came, she didn't know. She is totally new block on the kid. Very dim. But she was so keen to learn. It's like after Miss Lee brought her to the class, after the first class, like in the nature, she can feel, oh, this person is different. This is what she has been looking for. Yeah. That's how all those things happen. And she say it so confidently with joy. And there's a lot more things, because she can't put it in words. I said, don't worry, you just use whatever word this nature will understand. So these are the things, if you don't go through the death process, you will know. That's why you look at the Jataka story, Sakyamuni Buddha, yeah? How he described after his enlightenment. Actually, before that, he went into the mind state that can allow him to see the rebirth from the past. One life, two life, three life, then thousand life, hundred of thousand life, then millions of life. And through this, he started to understand this particular life. He was born into what family, under what name. Based on what he did when he died, he took birth as whatever. Because he has seen the aeons and aeons of birth. And then she start to understand this law of dependent origination, karma, the form and mind. That's how she understands so clearly. That's how he can teach you all this. And he just reflected and contemplated. Well, he has the ability through his perfection. So all these are understanding that can be developed. And you can understand. That's why I say there is no soul, permanent unchanging entity. This random consciousness is no more you. These are the remain, bundle of memory that come out. The rebirth consciousness immediately after death, they call it the death consciousness, the last thought moment. It already gone. And that one is just one thought moment. That's why they call it chuti chitta. Malay word chuti, take leave. But this one, no chance to take leave. If you take birth as hell rhyme, hell being, spontaneous, you down there. The rebirth consciousness. Then karma take over. Then your spiritual nature is different. As a human being, for my mind, you have to have the condition to come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma or through your vow. You develop the understanding, then you meditate, then you connect to your true mind, to your true nature. Not until you connect, your spiritual nature cannot come. You cannot inherit your past cultivation. But the moment you have the ability, your spiritual nature, perfection and cultivation, they will come back. And you will go back to the level where you stop. And you will understand very quickly. And a lot of the stages you bypass very fast because you have done it before. Yeah. And the understanding that calm is very different. Only that form and mind that is connected, that go through that transformation will understand. But this one is not you, understand? This one is the segmented life, karmically conditioned out, the vehicle and the tool for you to come to this world. You have to use that form and mind to live life, to understand life, to cultivate, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Not to be deludedly deceived by it and create your own suffering and misery. And most of these people who create their own suffering and misery, they are heedless because of their karma. That's why law of karma straight away come and take over. That's why you are born of it, add to it, conditioned, supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. But those cultivators who take the bodhisattva way, they have perfected their nature with wisdom. Their karmic nature also very powerful. That's why when they come, their karmic nature is already protecting them. Where a lot of their vow, like we invoke power of merits, power of blessings, wholesomeness, with all the bodhisattva and buddhas that has affinity with us, we seek their blessing, protection and guidance. So that one, when it goes in and becomes nature's law, is part of the coming nature. That's why it will come. Because these are conditioned world law, causes and conditions. That's why you make aspiration for causes and conditions to arise, to let you have this. So protection is for the form and mind. Yeah, this one is very fragile, very delicate, very easy. You will lose it. If without all these great beings, nature's law, wow, that has become part of nature's law, there is no way. Because I realize this form of mind very easily get destroyed. Yeah. We're very fragile. Yeah. If you don't have all this understanding, it's very difficult. Yeah. Then every life you come, out of the 70 or 80 years that you live, how many years you think you can really make use of this with the understanding to cultivate? Not to say use it to live life, the third phase of Dhamma Pativeda. Patipati and Pariyati. Don't know what year you start. Then when you start, don't know whether your coming obstruction take you to Holland first, then only come back or not, you also don't know. That even if you got good karma, you meet the right one, you lazy. You're not serious, you don't have the faith, you don't have the sincerity, and you are not diligent, you also will miss this window. Let's say you committed, you understand, you strive very hard, but how many years do you have? You understand? That's why every life you come, you don't have much time. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that you have to strive all the way and finish off during these few years. No need. Make the aspiration, make the determination, the bodhisattva vow, and all the right view that comes with it. And this Cameron Highland Retreat, we will do it. And this time, because of the condition there, it will be very strong, very strong. It will go in. Yeah. Then be diligent, have faith, life after life. You must have this understanding. So that whenever you come, when you have this understanding, you will know how to die. There is no more fear. Because you understand clearly from my mind, no one die, nothing die. And you can meditate to experience this, understand this before you die. All this can be understood. Okay? 5 more minutes. Any question? Today one can follow with that. Quite easy. Straightforward. Today one a lot more easier than last time. Last time cannot, without the base, without the foundation, you are sure they are both but now it's different because the consciousness is different. Many of you have actually developed understanding. And this type of understanding is very rare in this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You all can rejoice. As I listened to that recording, that day, you know, whatever, not supposed to have meditation after 4:30 or not. Because of the question keep on coming, we decide to cancel meditation. So that day, no meditation, 3 hours solid. Platform Sutta followed by the Q&A. Just the recent Sunday. And nowadays the sharing that come out, I also don't know why. I think up there, and a lot of the beings' condition are ready. That's why a lot of this type of thing not supposed to share when all come out. You remember during the early day I used to tell you, not until you have the condition when you are there, there is so much more thing that this nature understand. It cannot share because too early nobody. Hardly anybody understand. But when there is condition, as you all develop the understanding, the condition and the cultivation, then all this can come out. And there are a lot more. A lot more. That's why Dhamma is very beautiful. Nature is very beautiful. Understanding is even more beautiful. And wisdom is unending. Wisdom is not rigid. Wisdom is full of meaning, purity. Because it's the perfect understanding of the ultimate and the mundane. The mundane and the supramundane. The conditioned and the unconditioned. Cannot understand us, don't worry. If no more question, we should end. Otherwise, a bit late. 10:30. Okay. We will do the sharing of merits. Transfer of merits. Then you make your aspiration. Okay, let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hour plus. Then we will share these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata Chirpumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Wata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Swapte Deva Anumodantu Sapasampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imina penyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. pay respect mindfully to the Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.
Thank you.